Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, Luke 1. Let us pray as we consider the Word of God. We pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come this day and always. Open our ears, open our hearts, that we might receive your word in faith with great joy. Grant us peace and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, if you haven't heard, tomorrow is Christmas Eve, and we have church at 7 o'clock, Christmas carols, candle lighting, praising our Lord. Come, bring a friend tomorrow at 7. And then we have church Christmas Day is Tuesday. If you haven't heard, haven't been paying attention, it's Tuesday. Church at 10:30 with communion. Bring your family. Come and worship your Lord. Come. What are you doing for Christmas? That's a question that we ask a lot of people this time of the year. What are you going to do for Christmas? Well, some people for Christmas will sleep. To rest. Sleep. Maybe a couple days off. Sleeping. I'm sure a lot of the kids here for Christmas hope that they heap. They get a heap, present upon present upon present, and have a big pile. Am I right, kids? A big pile with your name on it. You're going to do a lot of heaping, if you will, this Christmas. Sadly, there will be a lot of people that will weep at Christmas. They miss a loved one. Someone has died, or they can't be with their family. They're alone, and they're kind of be sad. May God give them great comfort. If that's you, you're kind of down during the holidays because you can't be with certain people. The Lord is with you. He loves you. There is sleeping. There is heaping. There is weeping. And a lot of us over the last couple weeks have probably been doing a lot of beeping, like honking the horn. Get out of my way. That's my parking spot. What are you doing, you bum? Get out of the way. Beeping the horn. But I pray this Christmas, what we do is what John the Baptist does. What's he do? Leaps. May we do a lot of leaping. Leaping with great joy in the Holy Spirit. And I thought today, maybe we're all kind of tired. We'd stand up and give a Lutheran leap. But then I thought, we're Lutherans, Pat. It's not a gymnasium. It's a church, after all. We might knock down our candles, and that would be a disaster. So you can leap in your heart today, okay? It's a day to leap. At Christmas, we leap for joy. You know, this is now the third straight gospel lesson with John the Baptist a part of it. He's a very important figure in Advent. He's a great example for us. Two Sundays ago, he was out in the wilderness preaching and baptizing. Last Sunday, he was in prison, if you recall, kind of wondering, doubting if Jesus really was the Messiah. And today, John is a little bitty baby, 6 months old in the womb of Elizabeth, and he leaps for joy at the presence of Jesus. What are we to learn from this leaping? How does it really apply? How's a 6-month-old baby in the womb, an unborn child, really teach us anything? 4 things I'll say today about leaping. First of all, the leaping of John the Baptist fulfills Old Testament scripture. This is an important thing to note to begin. It directly, specifically fulfills Old Testament scripture. Now, think with me. There's lots of prophecies about the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, about Jesus being born. We covered some of those in Bible class, although the class did pretty lousy on those, I think. That's okay. That's why we're here to learn. But the last book of the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. And Malachi has 4 chapters, so the last chapter of the Old Testament is Malachi chapter 4, and there we have the last promise of a Savior in the Old Testament. And the promise reads this way, the Son of Righteousness, that's Jesus, thus we have a sun on our banner. You see the sun there, the sun rays? This is after Malachi 4, that's why we have a banner of it. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Jesus brings life. And then how are we going to respond? Malachi 4. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. The final prophecy of the Old Testament. The Son of Righteousness comes, Jesus. And what's our response? We're going to leap like calves released from the stall. And so one of the first people you have in the New Testament is John the Baptist, who's in the presence of Jesus. And what does John the Baptist do? He leaps in the womb, fulfilling in part this prophecy. And so the message for the church is, Jesus is the promised Messiah. The Messiah is going to cause people to leap. John the Baptist leaps, therefore Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one, the Lord, the Christ, that's who he is, the baby, who we expected to come. Now, that's elementary doctrine for us. We ought to all know by now, if we've been in church, who this baby is, the very Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But it's not known out there, folks. A lot of people have no idea what Christmas is really all about. I was in Weigel's the other day, and I just asked the gal who's giving me the free cup of coffee. Praise be to God for free cups of coffee this time of the year, huh? And what are you doing for Christmas? I said, well, you know, be with family and go to church. What's Christmas for you? Oh, I can't wait for Santa to come down the chimney and give gifts to my kids. That's fine. But for a lot of people, it's Christmas. Santa Claus, reindeer, all that stuff. Do they ever mention Jesus? We got to spread the word louder. He's the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the only way of salvation. There's no other way. We got to share it because nobody else will. Number two, there's a lot more here. The leaping of John the Baptist teaches us freedom and forgiveness in Christ. It's a vivid picture of the forgiveness of sins and the freedom that we have in this baby Jesus. John leaps not because he's stretching. He doesn't leap because of Elizabeth, his mom, or because Zechariah, his dad, tickled her belly and made him leap. We don't read that. It's not because of Mary. He leaps because of the presence of Jesus. This happens right after Mary has conceived Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, the miracle of the Holy Spirit. Gabriel, as I mentioned, had just come to speak to Mary. And Mary, if you will, gets pregnant through her ears. As she hears the word of God, the Spirit works, and she conceives Jesus. So Jesus is just a little bitty tiny baby, a newborn baby in the womb of Mary. And John the Baptist is 6 months older in the womb of Elizabeth to be born in about 3 months. At the presence of the little bitty Jesus, who's not even born yet, just newly conceived, John leaps because he's unshackled of sin. He's unburdened by sin. He's going to live forever. He's at peace with God. And the Holy Spirit gives John the Baptist faith even in the womb. All of us that don't think that God can do miracles and give faith to babies, how silly. He can give faith to babies in the womb. The Spirit even works there. And how much more upon us that are out of the womb he would work. It's a picture of freedom from sin. All John the Baptist's original sin, we believe in original sin, were conceived in it, born in it, and all his other sins are already being laid on Jesus. Christ is a tiny little baby, and yet he's already taking upon himself the sins of the world and freeing people from their sin. We have all that right here in this wonderful story. A story of forgiveness for John. This, in a way, is like John the Baptist's baptism. Was John the Baptist ever baptized? I think he was baptized right here. Think about it. You have water. He's laying in water called Elizabeth's womb. Amniotic fluid, water. He's in water. And now you have the Word of God. You have Christ himself and the Spirit is there. And you have water and you have the Word of God. What do you have? Lutherans, you have a baptism. So if you will, this is kind of like John the Baptist's baptism. He is set free. He's forgiven of his sins. He has eternal life. It's all right. No wonder why he's leaping. You know, I read something interesting of trivia. You know how powerful a sneeze is? I read this. It shocked me. When we sneeze, you know how powerful that spray is or that force is coming out of our nose? I know it's kind of gross, Pat. I'm sorry, but bear with me. But I read where that force coming out of a sneeze is 100 miles per hour. That's incredible. We, with our little nose, our little mouth, create something that's 100 miles per hour. Wow. 100 miles per hour? Incredible. And that's us weak, sinful, sick human beings. Consider the word of God that comes out of his mouth. Consider the word of God that you hear. The sacrament that you received. little bitty Jesus, little tiny baby, yet the power of him to take away sin immediately. He works faster than 100 miles an hour. When you hear you're forgiven immediately. It's quicker than 100 miles per hour. When you eat his body and drink his blood, you are at peace with God. You're forgiven, washed, cleansed. It's more than 100 miles per hour. The power of God in small things. The power of God in the smallness of Jesus. The power of God in the smallness of bread and wine. In the smallness of a word proclaimed. The power of God to take away sin. Wow. There's more. The leaping of John the Baptist means that he and you and I who believe will live forever. It's a picture of the resurrection of the body too. We are free and forgiven in our baptism now, and that's not the end. We're not going to live here as forgiven people. That's great. We're going to live forever. We're going to leap on into heaven. John here leaps maybe a couple inches in the womb of Elizabeth. That's a foreshadowing of him leaping on many, many miles into paradise. And you and I, the church, taking a massive leap, a leap of love, prompted by the love of God in Christ, all the way up to heaven, the New Jerusalem, to live with God forever in the resurrection of our bodies. So here in this story, we have the cross of Jesus taking away sin. Here in this story, we have the sacraments. Jesus is working in smallness. He works in the smallness of word and sacrament now. And here we have Easter. John's little Easter leaping. He is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah. And I will rise. I will rise indeed, hallelujah. John's rising, we're going to rise too. All packed into this little bitty gospel. Easter, resurrection, the last day here. I read a quote in the paper, I think it was, from Woody Allen. I don't know if we like Woody Allen a whole lot. I don't know what kind of guy he is, an actor, director. And that the quote struck me. Woody Allen says, I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve immortality through not dying. Good luck, Woody Allen. Someone has to tell Woody Allen, look, buddy, you're going to die. And thus the Lord returns, we're all going to die. And yet we can be immortal. We can live forever. How's that going to happen? Through resurrection. Jesus rose again. And all who believe and are baptized in his name will rise again. That's immortality. That's living forever. It happens as you believe and are baptized in the name of Jesus. The resurrection of your body. John enjoys that. We're going to enjoy that. And it's all foreshadowed here in the leaping, the little leaping of John the Baptist by the Holy Spirit. Tell all the Woody Allens that are looking for something out there. Tell them the good news of a Savior who conquered death. That we might live. That's what the world needs. And then finally, the leaping of John the Baptist means he and the church, you and I, we will be first always in the kingdom. For we are the children of God, his royal diadem, his treasure possession. What do I mean? Again, I want to tie this story back. There's a parallel back to the story of Jacob and Esau. This is why it's good to know your Old Testament, like Malachi, like Micah today, like Jacob and Esau, so you can tie back stories of the Old Testament. They begin to make more sense. Jacob and Esau, they were twins. And their mommy was who? Rebecca. And they were in her womb together. And what were they doing in the womb together? They were fighting like all good brothers do. The Bible says they were wrestling in the womb. They were battling on who was going to be born first. And we know that when Esau was born, who was grabbing his leg? Jacob was grabbing his leg to say, I want to be first. Get back here, buddy. You're not going to be ahead of me. I'm going first. Jealousy, rivalry. And they had that in life. And finally, of course, by the wonders of God's grace, Jacob does get the blessing over his firstborn brother, Esau. But here now we have John the Baptist and Jesus in two different wombs, I realize. But there's no rivalry. There's no jealousy of John the Baptist and Jesus. None at all, even though they're cousins. Nothing like that. Rather, the Lord here in his love and grace as the younger one, the Lord Jesus, if you will, is pushing John the Baptist up in the womb. Jesus does this for John by the Spirit. Jesus lifts him up saying, you go first, John. You go first. You be first in the kingdom. You be the king as I go to the cross for you. You be first and I'll be last for you. You live that I may die for you. That's Jesus. He exalts us, lifts us up by humbling himself. We have here the humility of Jesus, lifting up John even in the womb. How's he do it? Because he is so humble. You go first, John. I'll be last. Because I'm the Son of God. I'm already first. I humbly give you my life that you may live. Servanthood. Christ dies that we live. He bears the cross that we wear the crown. He is last that we be first. He's humble that we be exalted, that we lead. I spent probably the first 20 Christmases of my life with my family in Indiana, three brothers, a sister, and we'd gather around the tree to open up gifts. And I honestly cannot recall one time around the Christmas tree when we were opening gifts when I said to my brothers and my sister, "You go first. You open your gifts first. You go first. You have fun first. You get the glory first. I'll go last." Never once. And I don't think I do that now around the tree either. I'm the father. I want to go first. Me, me, mine. Jesus says to his brothers and sisters, "You go first. I'll be last. You leap. Enjoy the ride all the way to heaven as I go to a cross to die for your sins." What a brother we have. May we do a lot of leaping this Christmas. Do a lot of leaping. Why? We're free and forgiven. We're going to live forever. We're first in the kingdom, the very children of God, because of our brother Jesus. Praise be to Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. Say it with me a little early today. Glory to God in the highest. One more time. Glory to God in the highest. We rise and sing.